Our scripture this morning is from Luke. It's Luke 12, 13 through 21. It's called the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God."
I know a lot of ministers who are they're smooth in their delivery. They do everything. It's so precise and it comes off without a hitch. And I'm not one of those guys. I look down and I didn't have my microphone on. It was stuffed in my pocket. Bill, I'm sorry. And this, it's not my fault this day. I am sticking to the lectionary, and this was the lectionary gospel, so don't blame me. They say that confession is good for the soul, don't they? I'm not really sure who they are, but they say it all the time. And I confessed in written form to you this week, I am a collector. I'm a collector of things. I gave a partial list in our chalice of my different collections. Sad to say there are far more than those. I can only think of one thing that I don't collect, and that's stamps. I don't collect stamps. I mail letters with stamps, but I don't collect. I've always been a collector. Just from a very early age, I would be given a toy, and I would treat it very carefully and put it aside. And then if someone gave me another toy kind of like it, I had a collection. There were two. And then there were three. And then there were four. And then there were five. And then there was a box full. And then there was a shelf full. And then there was one time, to show you how my little brain worked, I love candy. I'm a sweet, but sugar and caffeine is as good as it gets now. But I've always loved candy, and I love candy bars. I decided I would collect candy bars. I want one of every candy bar on earth. And so I started to collect them. I didn't eat them. I collected them. Well, sometimes I would have enough money to buy two, and I'd buy two of the same bar, eat one, and put another one in my collection. My grandmother had given me her old silverware case. You know those old cases that hold your silverware or other valuables? I had mine full of uneaten candy bars. I didn't read the passage where "don't lay up treasures where the moth will consume them." Bugs got them. My baby Ruth, my payday, all gone. What about you? Are you a... Okay. This is public confession time. If you will confess today to being a collector of one sort or another, raise your hand so we all can see. Sigh, your hand better be up. Yeah, put that other one up too. That's what we do, isn't it? That's what we human beings do. They don't call this a consumer society for nothing, do they? Let's unpack this morning's gospel to see what we can learn about our sickness. I can't call it anything else. A man tells him, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. He's coming to Jesus to get him to be the judge. I will tell you this. This is sort of a sideline sermon. If you dividing up the stuff is too often the undoing of a family. Those of you who have ever been in that position know it's true. For those of you who have never been in that position, I would give you this one piece of advice. If someone else wants it, give it to them. You will be glad you did. But that's not the real message today. But in fact, Jesus told him, that's not my job. And he gave him this piece of advice. He said, basically, get right with God and those things will take care of themselves. Jesus told him that life does not consist in the abundance of things. But that is the opposite of what we are being told today, is it not? It really is. Not just the commercials, but especially the commercials. If you will drive this car, your life will have meaning. That is the under message of the commercial, isn't it? So what do we do? What do we do? Then he told a parable. A parable is just a story to teach a lesson. Okay. Was this a particular farmer in a particular place? No, it was a composite of all farmers in all places. Whenever you see the word parable in the New Testament, that is not a historical account of some event. It's a story told to teach a lesson. So what are the lessons to be learned from this particular story? Well, the first one, and we've already touched on it, is that accumulation of things can literally become an addiction or a compulsion, if the word addiction is, it makes you nervous. And that is true, isn't it? I know it was always true. If I had one, I needed another one. If I had another one, I needed another one. I have got so many toys. Mary Louise is nodding her head, and I did bestow sainthood upon you in that newsletter if you didn't read it. At one point, I thought I was going to retire and open a toy store. No, that was really my game plan. Well, y'all messed up that game plan. And so now I got all these toys, and what am I going to do? Well, I am in sell mode. But think about it. We become so possessive of our stuff. If we have a nice little house, we want a little bigger house. If we have a little two-door sedan, we want the bigger model, the bigger, more expensive model. Whatever it is, we want more. We are told that that's what we deserve, that that's what we should expect, that that is what America is all about. We're told that. Aren't we? Really? There is a difference between surface happiness and joy. Those things may bring a level of surface happiness, but no thing can bring joy What is the only thing in this world that can bring true joy? We talked about it in children's moment. Relationships. That is the stuff of wealth, is it not? Relationships. And an accumulation of things can interfere with, or worse, take the place of relationships. Have you seen the show Extreme Hoarding? Oh, man. I watched an episode, and in this episode, this guy had holed up in his house. He had surrounded himself with everything that he owned. And it was done basically to keep people out. He didn't want relationships, so he just surrounded himself with the flotsam and the jetsam of a life, and he succeeded. His kids wouldn't visit him. No one wanted to visit him. And gradually, it was a painful process. And the key to the process was not to convince him that he needed to get rid of the stuff. That would never have worked. The key to the process was to convince him that his children loved him. An accumulation of things can interfere, or worse, take the place of relationships. Not only that, it's kind of along the same line, but an accumulation of things can interfere with experiencing life. That's happening to me right now. If you're really lucky, in the next week, you may have a bunch of free plants down here. We're going to be gone for a week, and I've got all these plants. I started with one or two. Now I counted 57 potted plants on my patio. It's a very small patio. Some of them have to go, don't you think, honey? My answer was, we don't really need to be gone, except we have to go to Florida. But I would stay at home and take care of the plants and not go anywhere and not experience life. Because why? Because they're my collection. Do you understand what I mean? The things in our life can interfere with living. There is a danger even beyond that. There is a danger that the accumulation of things in your life, of things, can become your God with a little g. One of the theologians, the great theologians of the 20th century, his name was Paul Tillich. And he said these words, well, he said them a lot fancier. But he said basically this, is that your religion is what is most important to you in your life. He said your religion is whatever you give your ultimate concern to. That becomes your religion. Remember what religion means. It means being tied to God. So when things become so overpowering in your life that you get tied to them in a way that is way beyond unhealthy, those things become your God. That's the punchline of this parable, isn't it? It wasn't that the rich man had possessions. That's not what got him in trouble. In the parable, what got him in trouble was that he looked at his possessions. He got more possessions. He looked at them and he sat down satisfied with himself. That's all he needed. The rich man's possessions had gotten between him and God. And there's one other danger. There's a danger that passing this compulsion of a collection on to our kids. I'm kind of proud of my grandson, who is a really good collector of baseball cards, but I want him to be careful. You know what I mean? Because the accumulation of things can become familial until it is so overpowering that it ruins relationships. And it's so subtle, you won't know that it's doing that. It stifles real experiences. You don't live fully. So what's the answer? What's the answer? Jesus hinted to this man, in one word, balance. In one word, balance. Is your life out of balance? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. Our lives consist of three things: relationships, experiences, and things. Right? Our human lives consist of those three things: the things that we do, the things that we own, and the people in our sphere. Is yours balanced? Is yours balanced? If it's not, it's never too late. If it's not too late for me, I promise you it's not too late for you. Jesus came for just that, didn't he? Why did Jesus come? He put it very simply. Jesus came that we might have life, how? Abundantly. Abundantly. Obviously, he wasn't talking about things. So that part of the equation was unnecessary to him. He was talking about experiences and relationships. He was talking about living and living within relationships. So finally, my friends, our relationship with God through Christ is primary. Make that your most precious possession. Our relationship with each other follows and is balanced with how we love. Remember our primary relationship with God, who teaches us how to love. Our relationship with others is a response to that love. And finally, the things that we have are simply tools. They're simply tools. Sometimes they help us live life a little more abundantly, and sometimes they hinder us living more abundantly. God came that we might have life in all its abundance. Who wants a house plant?